This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, Brady, you guys do know my nickname or my initials, right? You know, my initials are L.A., you know what
yeah.
I mean? And
right.
You know,
right.
I just wanted to make sure that I put it out there that in between my initials, we put the Dodgers, you know what I mean? So they call me L.A., you know, so LeVar Dodger Arrington, you know
That's
what I mean?
Good.
I just figured
you wanted to get right into that, huh?
I just figured I'd put that right back
okay.
out there, you know
wow.
what I mean?
You
know, just for consumption by Berto back there. He clearly has changed.
Thanks, man. After all.
Hey, you clearly have shift gears to totally being into football season because I see. Oh,
I got my Black Dodger hat.
Okay,
what are we talking
right.
about?
Black Dodger hat meaning death. But okay, all right. There we go.
I just wanted
to put it out there and start the show.
My
you know
God.
What I mean?
All right. How could
I'm
you?
Sorry. But my initials are fired. L.A. Like that is. Everybody asks me. I'm an old school cat, old school player. So I got like a chain with a L.A. medallion on there. You know what I mean? Like nice. Little cool little LA deal. Everybody's like, hey, what are you an LA fan? Are you an LA
Dodgers
fan?
Do we want to talk about that nine overtime game? Or?
All right, Jonas, take the show. Let's go. Let's do this show.
Anybody
right.
can get it.
All right. All right.
And
Brady is the biggest. Ugh, he immediately hit me up with the message. Immediately.
No, I did not. What? I did not text you at all on Saturday.
That wasn't
that.
You? Was that Jonas?
No.
No, I didn't send any.
That was definitely Brady.
No, go back and look through. You are dead wrong. I didn't
wrong?
Say a word
was
on
it,
Saturday.
Was it
too.
Plexico?
I knew how you were feeling.
Was it Plexico?
See,
somebody, one of y'all got me. And y'all
me.
Got me good. Maybe it
yeah,
was
it
Plexico.
Wasn't us. Yeah.
Ah, oh, man. Yeah, it hurts so bad when people can make fun of you for your team losing, you know?
I didn't say a word because right. I know how that feels.
Yeah,
man.
Okay.
Trust
me. I appreciate
Bro,
that.
Bro, I lost every bet the year after I left Notre Dame. And I was like, oh, this is cool. It's what guys in the NFL do. They take their alma mater against whatever else. I lost so many damn bets that year. I was like, this is just not any fun anymore. Mm. It really took all the fun out of it. I was scarred, dude. Mm. They were a 3-win football team after I left. I was scarred by all the bets I lost. I do not reach out to anyone when their alma mater loses.
I appreciate it. I was rubbing crystals. I was burning sage. I was doing all kinds of stuff when we was coming down to it. Then we got to the overtime. I was like, man, I was doing We Are Penn State chants outside.
I thought for sure you guys were going to win an overtime. That was the surprising thing.
Which
when
ones?
We didn't get it done in the first couple, I was like, you know what? This does not feel good. I do not feel yeah. good about this. And I don't know. It was bad, man. I had to shake that one off, man.
I'll be honest. It was – y'all were at home. That's the worst part.
Oh,
like,
man.
It would have been one thing because, like, usually the home team, the better teams, which clearly Penn State's the better team, just not that day. You know, the longer the game goes, there's a greater likelihood you're going to win out.
Yeah.
And that did not happen.
It did not happen.
I was shocked. A backup quarterback came in. I mean, Brandon Peters came in and ended up tossing the game when it passed.
Is that crazy? We knocked the starter out. I'm like, okay, this should be good, but I don't feel good. My spirit just wasn't feeling right. And sure enough, this dude throws for the touchdown. They didn't run it in. They throw for the touchdown. So, I mean, the two-point conversion. It is what it is. I still am all love, all in love, all support. Everything we are, baby, it happens. And you know what? It happened. I mean, yeah. It's better than being a Kansas City Chiefs fan. How about that?
Oh, now that is, I mean, now again, if there was one thing,
see, Berto
you
did it to me.
About,
Berto did yeah. it to me. So I just figured that's what I learned in the pros. You got to put the pressure on something or somebody else when the pressure is all on you. Kansas City, you're up.
Yeah, they listen. The Chiefs got a problem. We might have a little bit of a problem with the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so Brady Quinn, you played in Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
How's the fan base, you think, feeling about their Chiefs right now after another ugly loss? This time, I mean, this game wasn't even close. They took a beating in Tennessee yesterday, and so here we are. Mahomes gets dinged. The offense looks bad, and they continue to be struggling and are under 500 throughout this portion of the season, which I don't think a lot of people expected.
No. You know what's interesting about this is – you know, so people are probably ready to write them off, but we tend to forget Well, haven't the Patriots got off to some slow starts?
Yeah.
Like, don't we remember a New England Patriots team with a guy named Tom Brady used to get off to some slow starts to a season? And then what would happen? About halfway through,
they hit their
they'd figure it out.
They hit their stride.
They'd hit their stride, and they wouldn't lose the rest of the way. So I'm not one of those people who's going to write off this Chiefs team. They're turning over the football too much right now. That is obvious. Their defense has been atrocious. I mean, yeah. I said it before. They're not at that pace anymore, but they were literally giving up as many yards per play as the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, would gain throughout that historical season. Like, that 7.1 yards per play was what they were giving up. And the Rams got about 7 yards per play. They're about still at that number, but think about that. It's hard to win in the NFL, and I don't care if you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Tyreek Hill, all these people. I don't care how talented you are. If your defense continually puts you in the position where you almost have to be one-dimensional because you're going to have to be coming back in games or scoring 30-plus points in games every single week, more often than not, you're going to lose. Yeah. And more often than not this year, the Chiefs have lost to this point. They're 3-4. I'm not concerned, because I think if you cut out a lot of the turnovers, which, you know, they can. Patrick had a little bit of this issue when he was at Texas Tech. You know, he had the propensity to force plays or try to make a play instead of just living to play the next down, taking a sack, throwing the football away. You know, all those things, like, you saw that on tape. And so he's always had it in him. It's just, it hasn't really reared its ugly head until now, where their defense has been so bad, they haven't been able to support him. And so there's a couple things I think you could highlight, and you could say, all right, like, what do you draw as to why they've struggled so bad? Well, one, you'd say, if you're going to pay this man, and you're going to pay Tyreek Hill and all these pieces on offense, and then a couple pieces on defense, guess what? You can't allocate much of your cap to everyone else to raise that tide. So you've got a solid group. You got some stars on defense. You got Tyrann Mathieu. You've got Chris Jones. You've got some of those stars. But you're not supplementing the rest of the positions, though. And then look, their secondary has not played well. You know, their cornerbacks in particular have been very poor this year. And that's a concern, where if you don't draft well, you don't develop well, you can't find some diamonds in the rough around these stars. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time then if you start playing bad football, turning the football over the way they have. So I think that's one cause and effect, is when you start signing all those stars, you better not miss, though, with those, you know, third round, fourth round, fifth round picks, those guys that you got to rely on then to step up and be starters, because you got to pay everyone else.
Yeah.
That's how it works. One thing. But there's a number of things you can point to right now.
I'll start with this. I'm happy and I'm glad on everything that Patrick Mahomes is okay, first and foremost. Because let me tell you something, that hit that took place, sometimes it don't pan out the right way, the way he got hit. And that's first and foremost, I'm glad he's okay, because that was a cringer, you know, when you saw that one hit. Second thing is, if he's going to be your leading rusher, that's telling me really all I need to know in terms of what we're going to do moving forward against this Kansas City Chiefs team in terms of prep defensively for the week, which is, if we can force them into a one-dimensional style of play, which is difficult. This is the brilliance of Andy Reid, is his ability to still be able to do what he wants to do, even though you know what it is that he's going to do. That's been Andy Reid's brilliance. If you cannot run the ball, and Patrick Mahomes is your leading rusher with 30-some yards, I believe it was, like 35, 37 yards, if that's all you're going to get out of your run game, it's difficult for any. And you say it doesn't matter if it's Pat Mahomes. I tend to agree with that. I don't care how good the quarterback is. If your quarterback is made to have to figure it all out from run to pass, your team is in trouble, especially at the pro level. Your team is in trouble.
And well, then, would, go ahead, wouldn't go you ahead. Say this is an example of Like, is Patrick Mahomes the best in the league in your mind?
At quarterback?
Yes.
Based off of resume, yes. Currently, today, right. It could be up for debate.
Well, to your point, though, like if you could pick one guy to start a team with, I think most people would pick Patrick. And here's the reality is, and it's kind of been one of those debates where like, oh, you know, you put Patrick on the Detroit Lions right now, they'd be a Super Bowl winning team. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't, dude. I'm sorry. Right. Like, this is an example of that. He's on a team that's won a Super Bowl and been to one.
Yes.
And they can't even get to a winning record because what's around him now, and again, he needs to play better and he's not playing at that MVP level. But it's a team sport, man. Like, you all want to keep acting like it's going to solve all your issues, the quarterback. It's not. It's not going to when you look at how he's playing, but how everything else around him is playing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, and again, when you have a defense that travels, and when you say travels, they can always give you a chance. That has been what the Kansas City Chiefs have had during this dominant run. And now, for some reason, it has come to a screeching halt, and it's making a difference. What people may have not have realized is that the level of accomplishment and the level of achievement, the way that this Chiefs team has been playing, has been so high that you're not really forced to look at where the balance lies. But you can see it when a team is struggling, right? So now that this team has to try to recalibrate, which that's, again, I'm with you. I'm not doom and gloom, but I am also realistic. And if we're looking at some of the other teams that have the same record as the Chiefs, we're not going to have the same type of outlook for what it is that they have moving forward, and rightfully so because of the type of talent that's on Kansas City. But with that being said, they have to recalibrate what made them great. Where did their greatness come from? Where did it exist? And they're going to have to sink into that and reestablish what their identity is. Because right now, while I will not say I'm going to cash in their season and what that looks like for them or what it could be, I will say this. This is a dangerous moment. Because while I will say it's okay to compare them to the Patriots and how they've started slow, I will also say those Patriots teams were well into being a dominant franchise by the time they started getting to the point of where we're looking at them struggle to a point of where it's like, okay, are they even going to be able to make it to the playoffs? And then they end up making playoffs, they end up maybe even winning the Super Bowl. I'm not so sure that teams have found the confidence level to say, we can defense this team. We can play offense against this team. And I think that played out with this Tennessee Titans team. And that could be very dangerous moving forward for this Kansas City team.
That's just a bad matchup.
But it was a bad matchup. I think I called it, by the way. I will say that.
You mentioned the Patrick Mahomes hit that he took and getting dinged like that in that game. Patrick Mahomes spoke about the hit and how he was feeling after the game on Sunday.
I feel fine now. I mean, it was fourth down, so I was kind of getting held up. And instead of going down and trying to throw the ball, and obviously y'all saw the hit. So kind of took my time getting up, but I felt fine. But obviously you have to kind of go through those things, the protocol thing. Did everything I needed to do to be here right now. I have full memory of the play. It was just kind of, when you get hit pretty hard, sometimes you just want to lay there. And plus it was fourth down, and I knew kind of the game was at that end there. So it was a disappointing day and a disappointing way to end it.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm just curious, you know, when it comes to dealing with potential concussion, is it protocol to make them gargle Tabasco after the game? Wondering.
I'm not trying to make light by laughing when someone talks. I'm just saying, like, I've gotten hit a few times.
And you know what it sounds like.
Well, and feels like. And, like, he's right. Like, there's some times where, like, you look, it's not a boxing match. As much as you want to pop back up and get right back in there and throw some punches, you're only getting hit. Like, you don't really get to throw punches back, right? Like, a D lineman hits you, you're kind of like, all right, I'm going to soak up this one for a minute, and then I'm going to get right back up, and I'm just going to keep kind of tossing the football. But, like, you don't get to hit back. You know, it's not like a boxing match like that. So, I laugh because I only know what he's saying. Like, there's a few that you got to, like, all right, let's just give this a second. The pain will go away. And it's kind of like getting hit in the nuts, you know?
Yeah.
You get hit in the nuts, and then you kind of drop to a knee, and you're like, I know eventually I'll feel better. It's just going to take a while. It's going to take a little time.
See, I took the opposite of it. I know what it feels like when you get knocked the hell out. And you thought you remembered and you thought you knew everything that was going on until you see that junk on film. And you'd be like, I don't remember that.
I thought he got hit more like in the chin. Like it was more of like a knee to the chin type MMA type shot.
It was bad, man. The thigh hit him and knocked his head back. His body was like being folded backwards. When I got the concussion I got the one time from Tim Biakabatuka. From Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of the same thing. It was his knee, not his quad, and it caught me right almost the same exact way. And let me tell you something. I don't know about you, Brady, but every concussion that I've had, it was like if you've ever been in a racquetball room and you throw not the ball because the ball makes a different noise. If you ever go in a racquetball room and you want to know what a concussion sounds like or feels like, throw a quarter off the wall as hard as you can.
Oh, that is the worst.
And that's what my concussions felt like. It was like doom, 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 doom. Right? And I could have told you every story about what I remembered and what it was, and I didn't remember nothing.
I remember like not understanding what seeing stars meant. and then I was describing what one time after I had a pretty bad one, what they're like, oh, you saw stars. I was like, oh. That's what that means. I was like, and then they go, have you ever experienced that before? I was like, oh, yeah. that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's seeing stars? I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that a lot of times.
Every time I spoon, I see stars, you dig?
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Can I just apologize here on the air? I definitely owe somebody an apology since nobody else wants to do this.
I know you're going to do what you're going to do. Can I just say I'm going to immediately defend you?
Okay.
I'm going to immediately defend you because I think there's something out there that makes what you're about to do so wrong.
Okay. I apologize to the Cincinnati Bengals organization, and I would like to apologize to Ja'Marr Chase because when they passed up on Penei Sewell to improve their offensive line with a quarterback coming off a knee that was mangled a year ago, and they went with a wide receiver, I was heavily critical. I said, typical Bengals move. And I would like to say that I was wrong because Ja'Marr Chase is a stud, and the Bengals are one of the surprises of the NFL, if not the surprise of the NFL, and I completely got that one wrong. So I would like to own up to that, Brady Quinn. I apologize.
Here's my issue with this is, look, Ja'Marr Chase, I think there was more people who need to admit that you know they were wrong when they were basically casting the guy on the side because of preseason, right? Because he had a few drops, and he was talking about, hey, by the way, the reality of the fact that he goes, yeah, these balls, they don't have stripes on them, the college balls do, it's a little easier to pick. Like, he was being honest with everyone out there.
Yeah.
He was being honest, and that is one jump that you make. I was just talking to some folks at Fox about how they're designing the USFL balls. That's coming back. That league is. And it's interesting when you talk to people with these startup leagues because there is a big jump in how your eye catches the ball and how you judge it when there's no stripes on it.
Yeah.
Because you grow up in high school where it's all the way around, college where it's halfway around, and then you got nothing. And so it is different how it catches your eye for receivers. He was being honest, and people bashed him. Mm-hmm. But, look, he's had a phenomenal rookie year. He might be top five wide receiver right now in the NFL when you look at how he's played. But that also doesn't make the fact that they chose Ja'Marr Chase the right answer. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's helping for their team now. But if next week Joe Burrow gets blindsided and you get knocked out of a game, are we going to have that argument again of, well, they should have drafted Penei Sewell, who had a good start, I think, you know, as a rookie, as a left tackle for the Lions. Now has struggled a little bit, but I think any tackle is going to struggle, by the way, when you look at, you know, being put in a position to have to, you know, constantly be down in games like the Lions have and be put on an island to have to deal with the pass rush every single game, which is what he's had to deal with. Bottom line is they both could have been right. Like, you could have also had a stable foundational left tackle or a number one wide receiver. Like, but in today's society, in today's world, it can only be one or the other. Like, you can't just have, hey, both are good players, both would have made sense. The bottom line is both are helping Joe Burrow, and that's why the Bengals right now are the top of the AFC North, which I don't think anyone would have thought at this point in time in the year.
That's the funny thing that I was about to say is that doesn't make sense to me. That's the head scratcher. You got Cincinnati at top, you got Pittsburgh at bottom. Like, how does that even work in the AFC North? But
yeah, what do they call that? Huh?
Mixed up. But here's the thing. Well, hey, you know.
The Cleveland Steamers, you know, all kinds of stuff. Is, I'm not sure what you call that.
I
right?
don't know, but I will say I agree with that. I don't think there was a right or wrong on this one in the sense that, you know, you could have given him more protection. And maybe for the long haul, that makes a whole lot more sense. In the initial, sometimes you just don't see and feel the effect and the impact of what an offensive lineman will bring. I'll tell you what you will feel and what you will notice and what you will see is the impact of a receiver or of a running back, right, or of a quarterback. So in seeing what Ja'Marr Chase has been able to do in terms of his production, he, again, I mentioned this earlier, he's not, and you alluded to it as well, he's not just up for rookie of the year on the offensive side of the ball. He is contending with, I mean, what wide receiver in the National Football League is playing better than Ja'Marr Chase right now?
Devontae Adams.
Well, it's up there. Well,
but again, that we're having this conversation tells you how good he's been.
I mean, right. The fact that he's in the conversation, and that's the key. And listen, to me, to look at this Cincinnati Bengals team and the way they're playing right now, for them to be atop of the AFC North, I will say this. We had the discussion as to what we would come out of this weekend saying if the Bengals won this game against Baltimore. I think it's without question that the AFC North is the strongest division once again in terms of title coming out of this weekend. That was my conclusion. That was like my major takeaway is that this was confirmation that you have a four, because that how we talked about Kansas City could make their run and heat up and maybe do something different moving towards the end of the season. That could be the Pittsburgh Steelers and that could be the Cleveland Browns, the Steelers, right? And they're all right there within two games of one another. So I came out of the weekend feeling that way.
I think you're right, too. Just looking at all the divisions, they're the only division where they don't have a team below 500. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. And by the way, when you start looking at the lack of parity in the NFL, I think there was, eight games, that were double-digit victories. I mean, Not even close. And that's not even including, a 9-point win in there, too. It's been 2 weeks in a row of just ass beatings. I mean, honestly, it's been crazy to me how the last 2 weeks have kind of identified the fact that you've got the haves and the have-nots, and there's a lot of division races that they're over. I mean, the NFC North, it's over. You're done. You can look at the NFC South, done. NFC East, done.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, AFC South, maybe the Colts can start to climb back, but the way the Titans look right now, hey, how about the AFC East? Done. Like, all these divisions, it's over. But the AFC North, they're still battling there. I think the NFC West, you know, obviously Arizona and LA are still battling. But that's about it, man. Like, our playoff picture is already starting to form right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Let me ask you this. If they don't make the trade and Matt Stafford is still in Detroit, do they have a win yet this season? Because I'm going to say no.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And so that's why I don't
it's
like...
debatable.
Well, I feel bad. I feel bad for Jared Goff in this regard. Not just because he's in a bad situation.
Everyone compares their stats like that's relevant, right?
It's just like the part that bothers me is people make it seem like, well, the reason the Rams are having all this success is because Matt Stafford came. Man, they won a lot of games with Jared Goff as their quarterback. So this idea that it's just the quarterback swap that is the difference, I don't buy it. And so seeing Jared Goff say goodbye to everybody and give a little hug to Sean McVay. He's got to be looking around going, dude, I'm going to be the fall guy for all this, when clearly, if you look at the roster I'm on, if Matt Stafford were on that same roster, I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference. I don't think they're winning a game with Matt Stafford at quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know, but I know we would be splitting hairs because it probably would be one game that we would be debating if they had won by now.
Right.
So, I mean, but with that being said, this Rams team is a really good team, and they did win a lot of games with Jared Goff at quarterback. And Jared Goff had success at the position as well, which made it very debatable in terms of what do you do moving forward with him. But again, when you look at what Matthew Stafford brings to the table, he does improve this team. I mean, whether people like it or not, he is an upgrade to the position. And honestly, if they can stay healthy and they can, in some cases, be able to run the ball effectively, this is a team that, if they were to make it back to the Super Bowl, a lot of it would be because of the play of Matthew Stafford. If they were to win the Super Bowl, I would say you would have to lob a lot of that to the feet of Matthew Stafford. And so to me, I think that he is a difference maker for this team. And I think he does give them a little bit more in terms of being able to be that contender to possibly win the Super Bowl.
The NFC playoffs are going to be so damn fun this year.
Well,
there are so many good teams in the NFC right now.
Yeah, you know, there are. I mean, I think you're going to see
high end.
I mean, at this point, Arizona, LA, I mean, someone's going to win that. Arizona's got the edge, but I'm waiting to see if they can, stay on. You know, Green Bay, Tampa, et cetera. The wild card round's not going to be fun. I don't know how many teams we'll be able to compete. Maybe we'll see some upsets. I want to go back to that conversation, though, about Goff and Stafford, because you can make this conversation both ways in the sense that if Stafford was there, would they win a game? Yeah, I don't know, maybe a game. I'm not sure which one you want to point to. Baltimore was kind of close, or, where does he bring them back? But Goff already made it to a Super Bowl.
True.
Regardless of how they got there, you can go to the New Orleans conversation and whether or not he deserved to be there with that, play. They got there. They won an NFC title. If Stafford doesn't during his time there, is this not viewed as a failure?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
I think the unfortunate part is both ways. It's unfortunate that people keep comparing the two like their situations are the same, and they're not. They're not even close to the same. And I think it's also unfortunate that that's what's weighing on Matt Stafford's shoulders. And as much as it's a challenge, and as much as that's why he wanted to go there, that's why, it all worked out so that they can go to a Super Bowl and win one. If he doesn't, and some of that takes luck, it's all on him. And it's a little bit unfair only because even though, I think maybe he's a slight upgrade to the position. I don't know if it's as big as we want to make it, but it's going to take their defense to get some stops. We had this conversation about Patrick Mahomes earlier, and look at the position that he's in right now, playing with a defense that's just been atrocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, so some of this, it's not going to fall on Matt Stafford, yet he's the one that has to kind of wear that crown. He has to carry that for the Rams this year. So I think it goes both ways as far as the evaluation, though, because Goff already got him to a Super Bowl. It's about now whether or not Stafford can do that and if they can win one.
I would say that Matthew Stafford is just fine with that versus the alternative. So, I mean,
well, yeah, everyone would be. I mean, would you rather be on a team that's in competition or of a Super Bowl, right, or one that's not even have a win right now?
Call me a failure. I'd rather have my opportunity to be a winner than to just be a failure. I mean, because that's really all he has in Detroit if he stays there.
The question really becomes, if he was going to get paid less for that opportunity. Like, if you're making $40 million a year and you're, you know, on the Lions, which that's not what Goff is making, but he's making a good amount, versus, you know, half that to go have a chance to go win one. That's the real predicament you'd be in, is how do you want to go about handling that, right?
Yeah.
Because when Uncle Sam comes, guess what? That $40 million goes to 20, but yep. You know, that $20 million goes to 10. 19. It's a different story.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Time to put a bow on this bad boy with something we do every single day, and it's called this.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, the superstar himself, the one and only Lee Delap. Lee, what the hell do we miss so far?
You guys, earlier this weekend, Mississippi State routed Vanderbilt 45-6, and after the game, Mike Leach gave his thoughts on Halloween candy to the SEC Network. Listen to what he said.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy? Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. when I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall. It's because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
The gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love yeah. it. Hopefully you'll get yeah. some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Okay. By the way, that's not an act, right? He's really interested in talking
him,
about random stuff.
Yes.
That's him.
I love Mike.
I'm an Airheads guy, personally. I love Airheads. Oh. Oh, I almost choked on a Jolly Rancher. I love Jolly Ranchers, but one time a kid fell out of their chair while we were in class, and I started laughing really hard, and the Jolly Rancher got caught in my throat,
really?
And I almost choked to death. So,
really?
Yeah, true
God,
story.
God, I feel like that's immediate karma, huh?
It was immediate, bro. It was immediate. I was laughing, and that joint slipped right into my throat, started choking me out. Couldn't talk, couldn't ask for help. I ran to a water fountain and it dissolved down before I passed out.
Wow.
True story.
I'm the type of dork that's like always been way too analytical. I've always thought about that with Jolly Ranchers. I'm like, man, there's a downside risk. Like, as good as that tastes, there's some downside there.
There's
you
downside.
You might just choke and die.
It's possible.
Why do you think they call them lifesavers? All right? They're donutted out.
Yeah.
They're donutted out.
So you can't choke.
You can't choke and die.
You can't choke on them.
Damn that's right. Why Jonas likes them.
Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely.
There's another reason why he likes them holes.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
It's pretty snug.
The turkey hole.
Yeah,
that's a
good point.
Is it?
Okay. Well, for some people. Yeah. All right, Lee, what else we got?
You guys, we witnessed history as Tom Brady threw the 600th touchdown pass against the Bears. And Mike,
God.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, Brady. And of course, Mike Evans gave away that touchdown football to a lucky fan wearing the number 13. Unfortunately, he might not be too lucky because he was talked into giving the football back. Auctioneers, Ken Golden at Golden Auctions, estimates it could go north of $500,000.
I mean, what are you doing,
dude?
I
wonder how much the real 600 touchdown
football
would be. All
right, okay, get this off your chest, please.
I just think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, we've got to compare regular season versus regular season instead, not total touchdown. Like, Tom Brady's already thrown in the NFL more than 600 total touchdown passes. He's already done that, folks. I hate to break it to you. It's just you have to include his postseason, which last time I checked, I'm pretty sure we all include the postseason when we're talking about Super Bowls and everything else. So I hate the fact that we're like, oh, it's a 600 touchdown. Yeah, in the regular season. Like, there should be an asterisk next to it because the guy did it a while ago. Like, he's already done this.
Yeesh.
God, it bothers me every time.
I know.
I'm bothered because my old brother is bothered. How about that?
Yeah, listen.
Let's go find the real 600.
Yeah, that's reason enough. Yeah, when was his actual 600 touchdown? Let's find it.
That should be the movie. That's the documentary, the real 600.
Well, so the reality is now, if you look up, like, he's got 600, what, two touchdown passes now? That's just in the regular season, right? That's not even playoff passing, which I'm trying to figure out how I can find that real quick.
Yeah. We got to, let's do an investigation, and tomorrow we will unveil the true 600 touchdown pass recipient for Tom Brady. That's how we will do that
right now.
I mean, listen, it's going to be Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski. Hmm. I mean,
he's thrown 83 touchdown passes in the postseason. So think about that. He's now got technically 685, yet y'all be celebrating this 601 this past week. He did that a while ago, okay?
Kind of funny.
He's almost at 700, but is everyone going to celebrate that? No, of course. Of course not.
Unbelievable. What else we got, Lee?
You guys, during the Ravens-Bengals game, the Baltimore radio broadcast got interrupted for a short second as a rowdy fan tried to climb into the booth looking for a drink.
I mean,
he was like, no, what are you doing?
She, by the way.
It was a lady trying to climb.
It was a female fan, yes.
All I know is the dude calling the game. He was like, no, what? Wait, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, they were a little panicked.
It was kind of funny.
Hey, Brady, let me ask you. Back in your calling, are you going to be calling games for Fox this year, later on in the season? Are we doing that this year?
We'll see what the expanded NFL schedule is. We'll see what comes. I still don't know yet. Usually that's like a week or two out, they tell me. So.
All right, so you're in the booth, and somebody climbs in trying to get a drink. What's the move?
Chopper style.
I'll just say, shh, okay. We're almost to a break. I'll walk with you to the bar, okay? We'll go down to the club level. We'll get you hooked up. Just shh right now, okay?
See, I thought you would have, like, stepped on their fingers to, like, let them drop out of the press
box. I'd be like Bad Santa.
No. Yeah.